From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, November 4th. I'm Abby Larico. Quincy officials and passengers are fed up with Southern Airways Express. They say the airport's sole airline has unreliable service that's repeatedly upended travel plans.
You got to rebook everything, reschedule everything. You know, none of us that travel, I don't care if it's recreational or business, like to tolerate that.
More on a plan that could change that coming up after this news on The Gateway. As of this weekend, St. Louis and St. Louis County residents exceeded early voting totals from 2020. St. Louis County residents have now cast over 240,000 votes early, compared to around 233,000 in 2020. And more than 49,000 St. Louis voters have taken advantage of the early voting period, more than the roughly 48,000 in 2020. The numbers are notable since some election officials urged voters to cast mail-in ballots in 2020 because of the pandemic. The majority of the early vote in 2024 comes from a roughly two-week no-excuse in-person absentee period. Today is the last day Missourians can vote before tomorrow's general election. You can find early voting locations and hours and the St. Louis Public Radio Voters Guide at stlpr.org. A judge in St. Charles County has dismissed a lawsuit that aimed to stop early voting there. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
A lawsuit filed by Republican committeeman Travis Hines alleged Director of Elections Kurt Barr stopped him from observing an early voting site in St. Charles County. Barr says that poll watchers and challengers are welcome at polling stations, but only on election day when votes are counted. But Hines says there should be more guidance about when poll watchers can observe voting.
It's important as another level of election security. We allow them on election day, but now we have 14 days of early voting, and that's just another check and balance that isn't in place during our voting process.
Judge Dwayne Johnson dismissed the case because Hines did not file it properly. Hines says that he's not sure whether he will refile the lawsuit before Election Day. Over 25,000 people in St. Charles County have already cast their ballots. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The St. Louis Board of Aldermen has voted to rename one of the city's two courthouses after a pioneering judge. The proposal passed unanimously Friday. After Mayor Tashara Jones signs the measure, the building, now known as the Civil Courts Building, will be named for the late Clyde Cahill. He was the first black federal judge in the Eastern District of Missouri and fought racist policies in schooling, banking, and criminal sentencing. 7th Ward Alderwoman Alicia Saunier says Judge Cahill is someone she has looked to in her time as an activist and legislator.
A black man who got to a position of power and figured out how to help others who are often left behind.
Saunier made her remarks during debate on the measure last week. The city of St. Louis has reauthorized a freeze on tax bills for senior homeowners. The Board of Aldermen unanimously approved the measure Friday after a six-week delay. The new legislation brings the city's ordinance in line with changes in state law. Residents are eligible for the tax if they are 62 or older and live in a home valued at $500,000 or less. People cannot apply for the freeze if their home is tax abated or was built with the help of tax increment financing. The freeze only applies to the city's portion of the property tax bill. Applications reopen March 1st. Several parks in St. Louis will soon offer free public Wi-Fi. It's part of the city's effort to broaden internet access for residents. St. Louis Public Radio's Alok Aziz reports.
Tens of thousands of families in St. Louis don't have access to high-speed internet in their homes due to high costs. Bringing Wi-Fi to 9 parks across the city will help bridge that digital divide, says Connor Kerrigan, Director of Communications for Mayor Tashara Jones.
Internet access is a vital public utility. And so being able to provide that for folks who have historically not had access is a major step forward for the city of St. Louis.
Free Wi-Fi will also be available along parts of Martin Luther King Boulevard early next year. The project uses $2.6 million of federal money from the American Rescue Plan Act. I'm Ala Kuziz, St. Louis Public Radio.
Cases of whooping cough are spiking in Missouri and throughout the country. The state has so far this year tallied more than 400 cases of whooping cough, also known as pertussis. University of Missouri pediatric disease physician Amruta Patier says whooping cough isn't life-threatening for most people, but increased infection rates put infants and immunocompromised people at risk.
One of the key things is when there is increased rates in the community, it means people who are most susceptible to the infection are being exposed to it as well.
Federal health officials say masking and other coronavirus mitigation measures have kept the disease from spreading, but now the country is seeing cases rise to pre-pandemic levels. Missouri has already surpassed the number of cases from 2019, though, with 2 months left in the year. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration is forecasting a multi-billion dollar budget shortfall for the upcoming state fiscal year. Dave McKinney has more.
Since taking office in 2019, Pritzker has brought financial stability back to state government, but that tranquility may be coming to an end. The governor's budget office is now forecasting a $3.2 billion budget shortfall for the fiscal year beginning next July. The reason? State sales tax are forecast to decline, while big spending jumps are predicted for education, human services, and health insurance costs for state employees and their dependents. That confronts Pritzker with the unpalatable choice of raising taxes, cutting state spending, or delaying paying state bills as he contemplates a third term in 2 years. A statement from Pritzker's budget office called the situation daunting and said he would address the budgetary shortfalls.
This is Dave McKinney.
Quincy officials are itching to depart with Southern Airways Express. The city and passengers have been on the receiving end of unmet promises and unreliable service from the only airline that serves its small airport. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson reports, a decision from the U.S. Department of Transportation could mean a fresh start for the city and Quincy Regional Airport.
The sky outside of the Quincy Regional Airport is filled with the sounds of airplanes taking off. But what you won't see is the hustle and bustle of people inside the airport. Besides the faint echo of a TV, it's really quiet in here. The only passenger waiting in the lobby is 19-year-old college student Genesis Dixon.
This is my first time being here. I didn't even know this was the airport.
Dixon just flew in from Chicago. She's one of two people on her Southern Airways Express flight bound for St. Louis. It's her first time flying with the airline and in a small 9-passenger plane.
And so when they put me on a small one, I got a little shaky. I was like, I don't know about this, but I was like, I got this, so I flew on it, so it was good.
The airport's passenger problem is something Quincy Mayor Mike Trope thought would improve with Southern Airways Express, its essential air service provider. It didn't.
They actually will be lucky to hit 4,000 passengers this current year.
Not quite the 20,000 passengers the airline sold the city on. He says the airport hasn't even rebounded back to its pre-pandemic levels of 11,000 passengers a year.
We've got a private business in town that brings customers in. They actually bring more customers in on their private aircraft than some weeks of what we have with Southern.
The U.S. Department of Transportation contracts with airlines and pairs them with smaller community airports to prevent them from being left in the dust as major airlines prioritize larger cities. The department signed a 4-year contract with Southern to provide Quincy a total of 36 round-trip flights per week, split evenly between Chicago and St. Louis. The trade-off? Southern would get over $4 million in annual federal subsidies. Instead, Trope has been on the receiving end of frustrated passenger and travel agents' phone calls.
Hey, I had a flight. It was delayed. I missed my connection flight wherever in Chicago or St. Louis. You know, then you got to rebook everything, reschedule everything. You know, none of us that travel, I don't care if it's recreational or business, like to tolerate that.
The airline struck out with Quincy when a former Southern employee accused the airline of knowingly jeopardizing the safety of its passengers at a different airport. Southern Airways Express has denied these allegations. In a statement, its chief of staff said, "Our number one job at Southern Airways is to keep our passengers safe." In August, Trope sent a letter to the DOT asking to cut ties with the airline mid-contract. The department conditionally agreed to swap out the provider if a replacement is found. Southbound. Until then, they're stuck with Southern. Austin Drucker is an economist at the Federal Trade Commission. He spent years researching the effectiveness of the EAS. It's not common to switch providers mid-contract, but it's not impossible either, Drucker says.
One of the things that the DOT must consider is the views of the community. So the airline is supposed to, one, have reliable service, like a proven record of reliable service, and they also have to take into the subsidy amount.
Trope is hopeful. He says the city has talked to four regional airlines and its previous EAS provider, Cape Air. Bottom line, Trope wants an airline that will do right by Quincy.
Safety and reliability. This is your schedule. You take off on time. You land on time. You deliver the people their luggage. All of those are the factors that are going to make successful, happy passengers.
Interested airlines will have to submit a proposal to the DOT by November 14th. In Quincy, I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.